Wonderful news. Things are going to get better after they get worse. Isn't that the good news? And up on the board it says, we want to know series. And you say, what is that about? Well, many, many years ago, I did a series, and I don't think it was on Sunday morning. I think it was here on probably a Wednesday night, or maybe it was even on a Sunday school. I did a little series on various items and things that people sometimes ask about or wish they knew but never get around to ask about. And this was one of the messages that I had in that series. And I entitled it, A Crown of Rewards, or A Crown of Reward. Many people want to know about crowns. The Bible mentions crowns about 5 or 6 times. And we want to know what it is to get a crown. What kind of crowns are there? Are there really crowns when you get to heaven? Maybe you think there are, and maybe you know there are, but maybe you say, well, I don't know if I'll get a crown. Well, I want you to know that there are enough variety of crowns that are mentioned in the Bible that I believe all of you will get at least one of them. If you're a child of God, some of you will get more than one. And I remember as a kid, we used to sing a hymn called, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in the haven of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Well, that idea comes out of the Old Testament, where it talks about God making up His jewels. I believe it's found in the book of Malachi, though I didn't look that reference up to be sure. But I want you to think this morning about crowns. And so turn with me, if you would, first to 2 Corinthians. And believe it or not, in 2 Corinthians, and we're studying this in Seasoned Saints on Thursday mornings, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a little hint for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, if you follow with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's where you and I are going to be judged, not on whether we get into heaven. That judgment took place on the cross of Calvary, amen? But this judgment is talking about rewards. That we may all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the seat that you think of when you think of the scoring at the Olympics or at the world events. Somewhere, I know, we were eating lunch in a restaurant yesterday, and on the screen of the television, they were running races. And U.S. won one of them, I know, while we were eating. And the next one was won by somebody else who looked very African to me. And they beat out the American runner by a mere foot or two. But they won. Now, they will be rewarded. They will be given medals to hang somewheres in their home to prove that they won this race. And our kids do athletic things, and at the end of the school year, they have what's called the sportsman's banquet, and they pass out awards. Well, this is that kind of thing, this judgment seat of Christ. And I want you to keep that in mind. That each one may receive, and I think the word for belongs in there, but it's not in the text. But to help us in English, I'm going to put the word for in there. That each one may receive for the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, there's more detail to that if you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And some of you are very familiar with this passage, and some of you, this may not be the most familiar thing that you've heard. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start now at verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one, notice, pay attention here, this is what I want you to see, each one will receive his own, what's the next word? Reward, according to his own labor. That goes with what I just read over here in verse 10 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, that each one may receive for the things done in his body according to what he has done. So there are rewards. Now we're going to talk about what those rewards might be. And the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? That was my illustration from lunch yesterday, watching the racing there on the screen. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now you understand Paul's illustration here. He's thinking of the Olympic contest, the original Olympics in Greece, where they ran, and they trained to run, just like our guys and our girls do today. They train to run, whether it's high school track and field, it's college track and field, or it's world-class track and field. You get the idea of what Paul is suggesting here. And everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled in all things, or disciplined. There's discipline involved, my friend. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Now, what kind of a crown did they get? A wreath of laurels. In other words, vegetation made into a wreath and put upon their head. They have a crown of a bush branch, if you please, the branch of a bush, woven together to make that crown. How long did that crown last? Maybe a few months, if it was put someplace where it didn't get touched after it dried out. But if it got touched or played with after it dried out, what happened? The leaves all fell off. Now you have something that resembles Christ's crown of thorns, right? Or maybe it was made out of some tissue or some paper or some type of a material that they had woven together to make it look pretty. But they're perishable. They disintegrate. Well, what about our trophies that we give? Gold, silver, bronze. I haven't studied this out, but I have a sneaky suspicion today it's gold-plated over cheap metal. And it's silver-plated over cheap metal, or it's bronze-plated over cheap metal. That's the way life is going, isn't it? But in the early days, it was pure gold and pure silver and pure bronze. Let me read on. But they did it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. What are we going to get? An imperishable reward of some kind. Whether it's a crown, or some other type of a reward that God is going to give to us, because you'll notice probably in your Bible that the last word in verse 25 is in italics, which means that word crown was not there. However, just ahead of it, we do have the word crown, and so I believe that the supply of the word crown is proper and gives you the complete meaning. Therefore I run, says Paul. Now, is he talking about running in an Olympic race? Is he talking about running from village to village as fast as his legs will carry him? I don't think so. He's talking about living the Christian life. He's talking about walking worthy unto all pleasing, which is a phrase that he uses over in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. That you might walk worthy unto all pleasing. That you might be fruitful in every good work and increase in your knowledge of God. And so we're talking here about an incorruptible crown. Whatever that crown looks like, I cannot say. But it's incorruptible, it's imperishable. Whichever word you prefer, I like the word incorruptible, but it means imperishable. It doesn't rot, it doesn't spoil, it doesn't waste, it doesn't fall apart, it doesn't disintegrate, even when it's sitting on the shelf, like so many things that we have these days. It's imperishable, it's incorruptible. And so Paul says, here's how I get it. Verse 27. But I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Now, I don't think he's talking about going down to the Y or the gym and working out, do you? I think the discipline here has to do with resisting sin. Resisting the temptations that come to us. Recently, we did a study on temptation, didn't we? And so Paul says, I resist temptation. I bring my body into subjection. I don't let my lust get away with me. I don't let my desires get away with me. I don't let my greed for earthly gain get away with me. Paul gave that all up. Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, well, what things I counted as gain, I now count loss. That I might gain the glory and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we have that incorruptible crown. It was a crown for those who run the race of life in a disciplined, godly way. The second one that I hope we have time for this morning, and I'll put those two things up there for you to think about for just a few moments, is the one that we read about this morning in our responsive scripture reading, and that's over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, did you catch it? As we were reading scripture there this morning, it was in a verse that Scott read, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you? What's he say? He said that you, speaking of the Thessalonian believers, were his crown. Now, we twist this around just a little bit. Look with me over at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Now, you wonder what that means up there on the screen. Well, it means that I could not get the thing to do what I wanted it to do. I spent minutes working on that, trying to get it to come up in the order I wanted, and it refused. And so it says 3,000 diamonds plus 300 jewels. Anybody know what that's talking about? That is the imperial crown of the Queen of England. The imperial crown of the Queen of England has 3,000 diamonds and 300 other jewels. Pretty good, huh? But what I want you to see is this. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. And some of you have remembered this, perhaps from a soul-winning class that you may have taken. You were told to memorize this verse, as we were in Bible school, in evangelism class. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Now, you all know the word firmament is the long word for a little three-letter word, S-K-Y. Every time you see the word firmament from Genesis chapter 1 through your Bible, the word firmament is talking about the sky, the atmosphere, what you see when you look out and when you look up. Whether it's cloudy or sunny or partly cloudy or mostly sunny, whether it's daylight or dark, and then when it's dark, then we see stars. Did you know the stars are there all the time? It's just we don't see them in the daylight, do we? But when the sun is on the other side of the earth from the earth, then nighttime, then you and I, we see the stars and we see the moon. That's the firmament. Now it says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. So I assume that means daytime at noon when the sun is shining brightly. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's talking about nighttime. So whether you're looking at the daytime sky or the nighttime sky, God says if you are a soul winner and you are smart about seeking to get people to go into the kingdom of God through faith in Christ, you are going to be what? Rewarded. We're going to shine. And how do you shine in heaven? That's a very good question, isn't it? And so we say that this is the soul winner's crown. The crown of rejoicing. What does Paul say there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19? He says, you are our crown. Now that would imply that there is a crown and it's made up of all of those who are one to Jesus Christ by your life, or by my life, or by someone else's life. Now that brings a very good question. Then, the question is this. How about your crowns, or the jewels in your crown? Because there in Malachi, it talks about making up the crown of jewels. So what is the jewel? How many people have you directly influenced to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? One? Two? Three? Six? 15? 20? Now, you may be a part of someone coming to Jesus Christ. Remember what we read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Where Paul said, stop your arguing of whether I'm the most popular or Apollos is the most popular. He said, that's not the issue. The issue is, I sowed the seed. Apollos watered the seed. But it's God that gets the increase. And you may be sowing the seed in the life of someone, at the same time someone else is praying for them. And they come to Jesus Christ. So who gets the reward? I'm going to guess both of you. Were you praying for someone's salvation? Some of you prayed for salvation of a certain person for years. Don't give up. Never give up. I have heard of illustrations of people that have prayed for 40 years for someone to get saved. And just before they died, they did. Now, who gets the reward for that? Not just the person who may have led them to the Lord on their deathbed, i.e. a pastor, a chaplain, or somebody visiting from the church that took the book and led them to the Lord. That person certainly is going to get a reward. But what about the other folks who have been praying for years, who have been witnessing, who have been attempting to bring them to Christ? I told this illustration many times, but I'm going to tell it again because some of you never heard it. I had a pastor friend. In fact, not only is he a pastor friend, he's the one that married Nancy and I. He's the one who ordained me to the gospel ministry back in 1967. And shortly thereafter, he left that church and he moved to Easton, Pennsylvania. And he pastored down in Easton. And one day, as pastors often do, he was asked to come to the hospital to pick up one of his parishioners, or one of his congregation, who was being discharged. And so he's sitting in the room, outside in the waiting room, waiting for the notice that his patient was ready to leave. And there was another person in the room that he said, I wasn't even paying attention to. I hardly even noticed that he was there. And all of a sudden, this person spoke up to my pastor friend and said, do you know how I can get saved? Apparently, the guy looks over at this pastor who was probably in a sports jacket and a necktie, and maybe he was sitting there reading a Bible, I don't know. But somehow, he must have figured out that Pastor Young was a pastor. He said, can you tell me how to get saved? And Pastor Young looked over at him and kind of surprised and shocked and said, yeah, why? He said, well, 15 years ago, somebody gave me this little pamphlet. He said, I just folded it and stuck it in my wallet. And I carried it all these years. And I finally read it. And Pastor Young led this gentleman to the Lord. Now, who gets the credit for that fellow's salvation? Pastor Young? Yeah. He was there at the right spot at the right time. But what about the person on the street corner 15 years earlier who had passed out this gospel tract as this man walked by and stuffed it into his pocket? I think so. Out in the hallway, we have a great variety of tracts. Now, I have an affinity to this particular tract. And if you're a visitor this morning, you should have received a visitor card and one of these tracts tucked with it. The reason I have an affinity to this particular tract is because I helped to write it 35 years ago. But it's called The Purpose of Life. When we originally produced it, it was for 1976. Anybody know what happened in 1976? We celebrated our 200th anniversary as a nation. Amen? Declaration of Independence. We officially established July 4th, even though it was written and signed by most of the guys a day or two ahead of that. But we established July 4th as our celebration of independence. Well, as the years went by and that particular bunch of tracts dwindled, my friend and I rewrote the first paragraph and renamed our tract The Purpose of Life. And inside, we talk about purpose of life, the rejection of God, the slavery of man, the payment of Christ, the freedom of grace, the reception of faith, and the provision of assurance, and a place to write in your date and time when you trusted Jesus as Savior. Now, I don't care what track you use. There's 30 different kinds of tracks in that track rack out there, and the same in the track rack by that back door. The point is, don't be afraid to pass these out. Pass out a track. I have another one that's out somewhere, a little yellow booklet that someone gave me many years ago, and they've been in storage until a little while ago in the office in there, and I came across them, and I thought, my word, these things need to be out and about. I received one given to me a year ago at the Pine Ridge Grocery up in Baybridge. Some guy was passing them out, and I looked at that, and I thought, I've seen that before. I got a box of them somewheres. And dug the box out, and I put them in the track rack, their little yellow booklet. The point is, pass them out. Person may reject it. They may stuff it someplace. That's not your worry. Your worry is get it out there and let someone lead them to the Lord through it, if you please. The point is, you and I are responsible to try to win people to Jesus Christ, whether it's with a gospel tract, whether it's with Bibles for children. There are Bibles that are sent all over the country by the ministry that Bob and Lillian House started way long ago and continued on now with Bob and Mary. I used a name that's unfamiliar to you, Lillian. Well, God called Lillian home some years ago, shortly after Bob and Lillian made a presentation right here on this platform. Then God called Lillian home. And Lillian had a sister whose name was Mary. And she'd lost her husband years ago. And guess what? Bob and Mary continue on the ministry of Bibles for Children. We have people here in our church, the Clarks and others, who work in that ministry. That ministry is just in a big oversized garage. But you know what? It has sent hundreds of thousands of Bibles around the country. I realize some of them are still in boxes somewhere. In this church, that church, or some other church. But a lot of them are in the hands of boys and girls and young adults who got them as boys and girls and have now grown up with that paperback Bible. They're going to be involved in the salvation of maybe hundreds, if not thousands, of people, children. Can you get saved when you're young? Absolutely. I had just celebrated my 5th birthday when I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And as they say, the rest is history. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God, great merciful Heavenly Father, You know what's in the heart of every man and every woman in this church. You know, Lord, and I pray that You will work in behalf of Yourself, of all, to make sure that everyone that is here knows Jesus Christ as Savior in Jesus Christ. Secondly, my Father, I pray that You'll get the glory and the honor from the rest of the people in this room who are Your children. Help them, Father, to see that it's possible to get in on the crown of rejoicing by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If not boldly and openly by their own lips, at least, Father, to give out a gospel witness, a tract, a pamphlet to those that they meet along the way, perfect strangers. Who knows what Your Holy Spirit will do? We know what He can do. Father, we just pray that souls will be saved. You'll get the glory and the honor and praise, and the kingdom of God will be enriched and enlarged because we've done a simple little thing. Lord, help us to pray for the salvation of souls. Help us to be prayer warriors and enter into the reward that way. Help us, Father, to speak. Help us to put Scripture on Facebook and other social media, that it may be seen by hundreds of eyes, thousands of eyes perhaps. Certainly, Lord, on our friends list we have unsaved people. And so, Lord, help us to use the social media. Some of us have websites, Help us, Father, to spread the gospel through our website. We have blogs. Help us, God, like Brother Bowker, to write things and put on our blog that will get people to think, so that they too may enter into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ's salvation. Bless now your people as we are released, as we go to our homes, as we go to a restaurant. Lord, help us to give a good tip and a gospel tract at the end of our meal today. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's